Just because we've kind of gone late into the evening, we just cut off the questions going to the email or the number that was provided. But there's enough questions to get us going here. For those of you who don't know, this is obviously you know Jacob. He's been in front of you a few times. But this is Jeremy Bundy. Jeremy Bundy is the young man who put that whole thing together. And so one thing I just want to do just before we get into some of the questions about the documentary is obviously we just sat through a riveting, when Jeremy told me it was 2 hours and 20 minutes long, I thought, wow, that's going to be a long time. And it flew by. But I would just say there was obviously so many interviews, so much footage, so much to put together. That's a lot of work that stretched over many months. And so we want to honor you for what you've done, but we actually want to just, I would love to take a moment just for us. I know Kelsey, Jeremy's wife, is here. Let's take a minute just to honor her because that was a lot of time. And I know that Jacob, I know you want to say something about that as well, so I'll kick it over to you.
Well, it was a family effort because they went on the road, and my daughter has a gift for Kelsey right here. So, right. Yeah. No, they went on the road out west together as a family, and they had the kids with them. And the last 3 months, Jeremy's been working 12, 14, 15-hour days, 17-hour days.
But who's
counting?
He doesn't
stop. Yeah, so he's going to sleep well tonight.
I'm partying.
You're partying? All right. I'm not invited?
Yeah.
So what we want to do is, there are some questions that came in, and there were some questions that came in that were theological in nature, some questions about sort of the nuances of some of the exegetical statements that were made in the documentary. And all I would say is we kind of want to keep this time focused. So we're going to focus on some of the questions that would be of practical help for all of us as we ingested the video itself and where we go from here. So if you have questions of a theological nature for somebody who made statements, a couple of them came in about 666, so those, come find me. Hey, you saw the people in the video who made those statements, so I would just say go up to them. We're here for fellowship over the next day still, and I would say go and ask them or email those pastors. All of our names were up there. But a couple of questions, and so here's kind of my first question that I'd love to just ask is, obviously, you're putting this out to a group of people who came to a conference called the Church at War Conference, and so there's a lot of like-minded people in this room, and I think we've been really galvanized even through the fellowship that's taken place over the weekend, and then obviously watching that. What sort of lasting effect? What's sort of the hope of a documentary like this? What is your goal in terms of what it's going to do in advancing the kingdom?
Well, I think our goal, one of our major goals all along, was to put our story in a bigger story. And this is a story that's been being written for centuries now. It's the story of our country, but it's the story of our country with its roots in England, and then it's the story of England with the tyranny that arose in the 17th century and how that came to an end. And here we are seeing tyranny rise again. And I think we can find hope from those historical examples that we mentioned. And hopefully that can give us some courage. And we wanted this to be a matter of historical record. I was hoping that the brothers that suffered would be honored in an appropriate way, as the scripture tells us to. I want to see the day come when Steve Richardson's vindicated for how he was treated. And you know, when this is all said and done, it's now a matter of public record as to what's happened and how the Lord's blessed us through this. And I think that there is a category that we were missing, that a lot were missing, at least going into this, and that is there a lot of people clearly didn't have a category for a government that's at war with the church. And that's called Antichrist. So let's name it. And now hopefully we've labeled it, and that category is available, and people can put their finger on it and say, that's what it is. I saw that. I've experienced it. I've witnessed it.
Yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, Jeremy. And specifically, I mean, when you create art, art prevails. And so you've just made something that would prevail. And what's your hope for the prevailing kind of legacy of a film like this?
Well, I think anytime we go through what we've gone through in the last couple of years, it's easy to just look at your immediate context and think nobody's ever gone through this before, right? So I think one of the things that we sought to do in this was just zoom out, look at church history and look at the history of Canada to paint a bigger picture and give people categories, especially so many people fighting for freedom don't realize that freedom is only found in Christ, right? So when we zoom out and we kind of build an argument, we start to build those categories and start to define like how a nation can actually see liberty, and it's only through repentance and faith in Christ, right? So obviously Jacob and I would like to see Canada a Christian nation once again. Even if we don't see that in our lives, we'd like to see that in the lives of our kids, so that's why the ending is the way the ending is. We want to build something great for future generations, right? So
I love the way that you put it at the end there too, that you know, we're sort of living under the shade of the tree that John Bunyan and his contemporaries planted, and now it's time for us to plant something that will endure. So that was really powerful. So a couple of questions that came in, and I'm sort of amalgamating some of these questions that are similar, but so the documentary calls a spirit that acts through individuals and institutions to bring rebellion against Christ and his kingdom. Could you expound on this idea of a spirit? Is that spirit of Antichrist separate from the Prince of Darkness, meaning it's a subject of the devil? The one who acts through, are they necessarily aware of it, or does it manipulate the host's sinful nature? So obviously there were a lot of people depicted in the film who are Bible-believing preachers and teachers and Christians. What is this spirit of Antichrist? Is it different and distinct from sort of the Prince of Darkness himself? Can you expound a little bit on that idea of the spirit of Antichrist and how it sweeps through?
Somehow, I don't think the Bible's terribly clear on it, but somehow Satan is in control of these situations. He has power over them. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why there were so many. I mean, when Jesus entered the scene in Israel in the first century, as I explained in my sermon this afternoon, it was under the power of a dark force. And that, I think you can call that Antichrist. And I suspect that's probably why there was so much demonic activity that he encountered. And so there is something, I don't know how it all works together behind the scenes, but I know enough to know that the scripture says there's this very dark, nefarious force that is controlled by Satan that is bent on destroying the world and taking the place of Christ. And I think this is the problem that this protest movement and even some of the political movement is facing. They want freedom, but they don't know where it comes from. And not only do they not know where it comes from, they don't have the power to get it. Because you're dealing with dark forces here. It's not like me sitting down having an argument with someone and trying to win an intellectual debate. This is a spiritual problem. And we're not going to win this battle through intellectual debate. We need the strong arm of our king to intercede for us. And this is the only way it can be won. So how the dark forces all work together, I'm not exactly sure. I see you're turning to scripture. Maybe you have a, or did you want
to? No, I want Jeremy to answer that a little bit too. You okay? No. Don't.
Yeah, what can I say? It's Jacob, man.
Fair enough. What just came to my mind is Ephesians chapter 6, when it talks about we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness in high places. And so, and it's interesting, even when we gather, right, it talks about we are declaring the Lord's death until he returns when we take communion together. Who are we declaring that to? to a bunch of believers. We're also declaring that to the principalities in darkness. So I think, and I thought the film depicted it really well. Obviously, your artistic abilities came out really well, Jacob, in the idea that there are these principalities and they're taking over and they're creeping in and there's this spread. And I guess thinking through history as the war between the spread of the kingdom of God and the spread of the kingdom of darkness is a really helpful motif that spread throughout the film. So I thought that was great. Okay, here's another question, kind of in the same vein. It says, if Antichrist should be thought of as a force that exalts itself against God, incarnated each generation in various forms, such as the overreach of a sovereign sphere, then what should be thought of regarding the end of history? Should we think in terms of many Antichrists and one final great exaltation of Antichrist spirit? Or is this a misunderstanding of Revelation? So obviously you were talking about a time and a place where Antichrist is manifesting. How should we think about that in terms of the culmination of human history?
Well, I think we're going to vary on that. But I really do believe that there will be one great Antichrist before the Lord Jesus returns. And I think that'll happen at the end of his millennial reign. I'm post-millennial, but I think that there's still a millennium to come, and then Christ will return after that millennium. Now, we don't all agree on that kind of stuff, and I'm not trying to make it about my eschatology.
No, but the question came in, so I was just throwing it to you to kind of go down.
Right, but so what I think is that eventually this one world system is going to take over, and our Christ is going to return and put an end to it. I think that's what's going to happen.
And so if I could ask kind of a question that I think would sum up, because there might be a lot of people of different eschatological backgrounds here. So let me ask the question to Jeremy. I think you can answer this question really well. Does it matter, though? Does it matter that there are different eschatological ideas as you come to that film? As you're thinking through what the spirit of Antichrist is, does it matter as we're understanding this, or does it give us all marching orders in light of what we know Antichrist is?
I'll try. Where are all the production questions, man?
I'll give you one of those next.
Okay. Well, I think that there are... If people remain consistent with their eschatology, it brings them to different locations. But praise God that we're not all perfectly consistent. So I like what Owen said, despite your eschatology, let's not just default to this, sit back and let's see what happens. Let's actually try to build something. Let's try to see how much salt we can be. Let's try to see how salty we can be to the world. So, but at the same time, I think it's important to test. We know that God cares about consistency. So I think it's important to test our views with the totality of Scripture and testing it logically as well. Okay, where does this logically lead to make sure that it actually is a consistent view? And that ultimately gives us different ends. I hope that kind of makes sense, but that's what it's...
Can I add that? And as far as the documentary goes, so here's kind of how it worked. Like, I had this vision and Jeremy did all the work. So, no, just a minute. I have ideas and then there's all these people that implement them. And he did a really good job of it. But anyway, one of my ideas was, I think we need to tell the story in a way that is not specifically centered around one particular eschatological position. And I wanted it to be broadly, I was very adamant in my vision casting that, like, we share the same view, I think, on eschatology, that not come through, that we try our best to make it so that this is something that appeals to all of our brothers and sisters. And I actually promised James Coates that I would do that too.
he signed the waiver after that.
Yeah. So, you'll find out tomorrow that he and I don't exactly agree on eschatology.
that's why you teased out the 8:30 meeting tomorrow right now. Yeah. Here's what I would say, though. I think Andre Schutten said it really well in his interview, where he said, the Great Commission is given in a context, and that context is all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Christ. Go, therefore. So regardless of how many times you think Antichrist will manifest throughout the rest of human history, doesn't matter if we're all under the authority of King Jesus battling Antichrist, right?
And so oftentimes I think what we do is we take the easy way out and we just say, oh, the world's going to crap. But in reality, it's just because of the weak church. So I think we have to take responsibility for that. And I hope that's what you guys got from the doc too, is this all changes when we take responsibility. We repent, we believe the gospel. And Jacob talked a lot about what the gospel actually is, what the nature of the gospel is. It's the command from the king to take responsibility, put your faith in him, and then the Dominion mandate goes out.
That's good.
And I want to say something else too. I'm going to hijack it a bit, but Jacob has the ideas. He gives it to me. I give it to a team, and then we just both sit up here and get all the applause. So. But I want to say, Tristan, sitting in the front row there, he wrote the intro song and did the intro rapping. So that's Tristan. And folklorist is his thing, and you can find him on social media. Ryan did a lot of script writing, VO writing. He's not here. He's probably tending to his little baby, but you probably know Ryan Aris. He's at the back there. And then Erica actually did all the planning for the production when we were on the road. She got in contact with all the interviewees and set up my whole schedule. I was just kind of like, Erica, where am I going next? And she'd be like, Winnipeg. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'll just drive to Winnipeg. So. That's Erica Osborne right there, so, yeah. And then I'd also like to say it was Jacob's idea, and so I don't really know why I'm up here, but I also just wanted to thank Jacob for the opportunity to work on it and your gratitude and your graciousness to entrust your idea to me to actually do something with it. You know, that's awesome, man.
Well, I knew you'd do a good job. There's a part of me that I hope that this is some good advertising for JKB Productions too. So, but he does a good job, you know? He does a really good job, and I knew you'd do a good job, and you did. So, yeah, excellent job.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, so here's a question. The movie that we just watched, I've already read that one. History is clearly repeating itself over and over. Satan is continuously and intensely seeking to divide and conquer all relationships in all spheres to destroy the creation he absolutely hates. For us today, how much time, effort, and resources should be used to wake up the apathetic or complacent rather than just dusting off our sandals and moving on in order to be fruitful? How is that best discerned?
Just the comment, like the comment, history is repeating itself. Like I've told us this to our church. I think history always repeats itself, but never repeats itself the same way. And I think you see patterns in the Bible. There are archetypes in the Bible, and I think they repeat themselves throughout history. But as far as the time and effort, I mean, we have to give everything for the kingdom of God. The question is how much should I as an individual give to one specific part or aspect or mission within the kingdom? And I think each person's going to discern what the Lord wants him to do is he seeks the Lord earnestly. I mean, I want to give my life to this church and be the pastor here and serve these people and serve this community for the rest of my life. And Jeremy's an excellent filmmaker, and I'm assuming you want to continue doing that. Did this do you in?
It's the first one, so. I will make more films.
that was your opportunity to appeal for more money.
But you gotta everyone's gonna have their own, you know, part in the kingdom, and we just have to be faithful where we are, and that's what we have to do. Some people are, you know, I don't know. It's late, isn't it?
It is late. So let me wrap this up.
Michael Thiessen said he's going to actually storm in here at like 10:15 and drag me out for an LCC interview. He's going to get all obnoxious about it or something.
So we got if there are any more questions. So here's a really important question for Jeremy. When and where will we be able to purchase the movie? And follow-up question, will it be available on Canon Plus? I know that's not you. So is Gabe still here?
Gabe?
Is it going to be available on Canon Plus? Gabe checked out. Unbelievable. All right, go ahead, Jeremy. Where can we buy it?
Well, Jacob and I still have to talk about it because honestly, I was editing this on Tuesday of this week. So we honestly have not talked about it yet. But in the spirit of wanting to build things, I would love for this to be as independent as possible. So not to give money to Apple or not to give money to Amazon, but I would like to, like, the other leg of my company does a lot of website development and app development. And so we're trying, like, I would like to try to build something where there's a login portal on antichristdocumentary.com and you guys can just log in and view it. And we have tons of extra content too, because if you can imagine 19 interviews, average of 2.5 hours per interview. So you can imagine how much content didn't make it in. So
pastors,
I'd like to have something that's
time,
like progressive, you know, that's progressively releasing things, but we haven't talked about it yet. So sorry if that's totally contrary to your view, Jacob, but that's what I was thinking.
Jeremy, I know that you have a real passion for sort of building things and entrepreneurial enterprises. What would be, if there are people, and there are obviously in this room, there are pastors, there are elders, but there are website makers and there are entrepreneurs and there are business owners and there are all kinds of different people. What advice would you give them as you obviously talk to a ton of people and you've thought a whole lot about what it looks like to build a new Christendom in Canada? What would your advice be to those people? The pastors, we've talked long enough. Talk to everybody else. What would you say to those people who are business owners, website developers, yada, 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 in terms of jumping into this vision?
Well, I think one thing that didn't make it into the doc that I was kind of sad didn't was one of the statements you made, which was freedom is hard. And taking dominion is hard and building things is hard, but we have to adopt a pioneering spirit. And I was talking with Alex Klusterman and just about what they're doing as far as starting a school. And we have to start building things for our kids, because if not, our kids are gonna leave. So if there's not a Christian school, I have to ship my kids off somewhere else, right? So we have to adopt a pioneering spirit. We have to understand that it's hard, and freedom is hard, and being an entrepreneur is hard. But as Christians, we should be masters of delayed gratification. We should be the masters of putting the work in for a delayed reward, a reward that's in the future. So we've nailed that spiritually, but we haven't actually nailed that down in the physical world, right? We've become kind of lazy and complacent with just the comforts of our North American lifestyle. But so often I hear, I can't start a business because there's too much paperwork. And it's like, well, then that same person's upset when vaccine mandates come in and they've been working for a tyrant for 10 years and they lose everything. It's like, well, freedom's hard, bro. Start a business. It's like, we have to have a longer-term approach to things and understand that by the grace of God, we can do the hard work for a delayed reward in that. So I don't know if that was, it's late. And I was just nervous the whole documentary. It was just like, yeah, anyway, so I don't know if that makes sense or if that answers the question, but
that's great. I won't keep you guys up here anymore because you've both now commented that it's late. So, but I think this is an important question, Jacob, that I think, you know, so right now there's no restrictions on church gatherings. So I guess two things to the question. How should we as churches be preparing for what comes next? And then sort of a secondary question that came in was, if we find ourselves at one of those churches that were caught off guard and ended up locking down and following the mandates and not taking a stand, is there something that we can do, and perhaps even using this documentary, is there something that we can do that you think might be helpful that would make sure that our churches, that those churches don't do the same thing next time? Jeremy said, go to another church.
Go to another faith.
Say it into the microphone.
Well, I think our Lord Jesus, when he was getting ready, I've just preached on this a few weeks ago, and he's getting ready for his great trial in Gethsemane, he told the disciples to pray because they didn't understand how how hard it is when you're under pressure and when there's spiritual pressure involved. So if we are to go through something like that again, we need to have a strong walk with the Lord. And I think when we do that, he shapes our instincts and he gives us the power to move forward in obedience and with faith. So the most important thing we can do is pray, and pray as churches and as on our own. I think pastors need to be teaching their people a proper view of government and a proper view of the church. And I think hopefully this documentary will help them. So, and I think that if those, there are people that are involved in churches where the churches were compliant and they still haven't repented, I think that there has to be, you know, loving, direct, clear dialogue. If you're going to attempt to reform a church from the inside and you're going to attempt to steer the church in the right direction, there has to be clear, loving, direct dialogue with your leadership about what your concerns are. And then you'll find out very quickly whether they're open to those concerns. I don't think it's fair for the leadership or the church if you just say, well, I'm done, and you don't tell them why. And I don't think it's fair if you start attacking them and being mean to them and nasty. But I think that it's quite appropriate to speak directly with love, and then you'll find out where things are going to go, whether there's going to be movement or there's no movement or there's going to be anger and resistance. And then I think through that, the Lord will make clear what your next steps are. But they're actually, if we love people, we have to talk to them clearly. And we, especially if we believe they're in error. And this is a very serious error. The compliance to that, they were instruments of Antichrist, whether they're regenerate or not. This is God's business. It's between them and God. But their assurance of salvation certainly goes down if this is what they've been doing. And so they have to lovingly be exhorted to do what's right and to make things right with God and right with their congregation and their community. I heard of a church in Northern Ontario recently that the pastors and the elders stood up. They were compliant during lockdown. They repented before the congregation for what they did.
Praise God.
And that's what we need. You know, God's merciful. And this is what I, right? But that takes humility, and that's a true sign of regeneration when people start acting that way. And now there's clear, there's the ability to think clearly, hopefully, and the only way to have this, the power of God is to repent. I do think that though what we saw was probably a symptom of what's been going on. Just, you know, we don't deal with issues. We just try to get along. We just try to draw a paycheck and, you know, let be whatever. And there's no real gospel ministry that takes place other than a little dog and pony show on Sunday morning. And then this all came through pretty clearly the last 2 years, which is sad. It's sad. I think the hardest thing for me as I look out on our country and to see is just to see the, you know, the state of the church. This is where it's at, really? Then you look around, you see the remnant that God's preserved and all the new friends we've made. And it's really, it's a treasure. So,
yeah. Amen. Okay, just before I close in prayer, I just want to say, because maybe some of the questions that came in, I know it's late, Jeremy, and I don't want to put you on the spot anymore, but I just want to kind of publicly, I just want to say, Jeremy is not only a gifted filmmaker, but he is a very, very clear thinker in terms of thinking through how art, film, business can advance the kingdom of God. And I would just say, if you are sitting on an idea, if you have thoughts about how your business can get caught up in the business of taking dominion in Canada, Jeremy, I think you are so gifted at getting stuff done and getting stuff started. And I would say, reach out to Jeremy, and I'm super excited about what God's going to continue to do through you and your gifts, brother.
Thanks, man. He had to say that I was a clear thinker because obviously being up here is not happening. So thanks for that.
I'm going to close in prayer, and then I'm going to invite Will to come on up and give us some announcements. But I'm just going to, as I close in prayer, I want to pray specifically for this documentary that God would use it. And I hope that you'll all pray that with me and pray for whatever God has next for Jeremy, other than a big, long, well-deserved rest. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the blood, sweat, and tears that we know went into what we just saw. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful story. Jacob said it at the beginning of this Q&A time.
this wonderful tapestry that you're creating, the human history that is unfolding according to your perfect providence, and you are telling a wonderful story that when it culminates and when it ends, we're all going to be amazed. And Lord, I thank you that all of the individuals in the film and many, many individuals in this room and who aren't in this room, who weren't in the film, are all had a part to play in this wonderful story that you're telling. And Lord, it is our prayer that you would use the small acts of faithfulness represented by many, many men and women in this room, and that you would use it for your glory and use it for the advancement of your kingdom long term. And Lord, we pray, we thank you for men like Jacob and men like Jeremy who would see what's going on, be able to connect these dots and see this a part of this tapestry and to capture the story in such a compelling and powerful way. And so, Lord, we pray that you would use this piece of art, that you would use this film, that you would use this story. You would use it to embolden your church. We pray, Lord, that you would use it to bring those who are part of your true church who have not yet been able to see how wicked and evil the grip of Antichrist has been on their own ministries. I pray that you would use this to bring them to repentance. I pray, Lord, that as this goes out, I pray, Lord, that the Spirit would go with it, transforming hearts and minds who see the story. And Lord, I think of many, many Canadians, perhaps truckers and those who got caught up in the convoy, who sensed that there was something wrong, who perhaps even put all of their hope in the convoy and only to be let down. I pray that they would see this film, know that they were caught up in something, but they just didn't know what it was. And as Jacob said, that they would transfer their hope from political protest and getting the right guy in office and see that the hope to overcoming the darkness that they felt was strangling them over the last couple of years is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'd use this film to draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you'd use this film to push back the darkness in Canada, and that once again, through the prayers of your people, through the faithful teaching and preaching of your word, and through Christians building things for your glory, like Jeremy talked about, I pray that you'd use all those things to restore this country. And I pray that once again it would be true that Jesus Christ, who has dominion from sea to sea and to the ends of the earth, would be recognized as the rightful king of Canada. We pray, Lord, that you would just bless Jeremy's hands and what he would put them to next. I pray, Lord, that all of the people that he honored and all those who didn't get a shout out today would be, Lord, that you would bless them for their efforts. I thank you for Kelsey and for all the help that she's been to Jeremy. And Lord, we thank you for Jacob, and we thank you, Lord, for the figure that he's been to many of us, the glue that sort of drew so many of us together, and I thank you for putting us all in this room, and I am excited to hear in eternity of what you will do from the relationships and the interwovenness that comes out of a conference like this and how that will echo in eternity. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, well, let us go home.